If you have your Bibles, if you'll be turning with me to the book of Acts and the 10th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. It's so good to see each of you out this morning. I'm always encouraged to see people who are interested in worshiping God and giving Him honor and praise. It means so much to see you this morning, knowing that your heart is wanting to give God glory. In the book of Acts, in the 10th chapter, I want to read with you, beginning at about verse 9. Acts chapter 10, beginning at about verse 9. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, and a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. You know, when you look at the life of Peter, you'll find there were different times that he disagreed with the Lord. You can go back to the book of Matthew in the 16th chapter, and you'll remember that Jesus had talked about, beginning at verse 21, that he would have to go to the cross of Calvary, and that he would have to die upon that cross. And you remember that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And Peter said, "Not you, Lord. This surely won't happen to you." And you remember that Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "You're not mindful of the things of God." And I thought that is an interesting statement to Peter. You're not mindful. Then if you take your Bible and look in the book of Mark and the 14th chapter, you remember again that Jesus said, "All of you will be caused to stumble this night because of me," beginning at about verse 29. And you remember that Peter said, "Not me, Lord, even if I have to die with you. I would never deny you. I would never forsake you." And you remember that Peter did deny the Lord, not just one time, but three times. And in the book of Mark, in the 15th chapter, if you will, notice, or the 14th chapter, notice verse 72. After Peter had sinned, the Bible says, and when he thought about it. The problem with Peter at that time was he had not considered what he had done. But now then, we come to the book of Acts and the 10th chapter. And in Acts 10 and verse 14, Peter uses the phrase, "Not so, Lord." I've often wondered if we ever stop to observe the absurdity of Peter's answer. A slave never dictates to his master, and for Peter to say, "Not so," and then use the word "Lord" is impossible. Now, one must either cross out the words "not so," or they must cross out the word "Lord." I would that I had enough pencils this morning to pass out so that each individual could cross out either the words "not so" or the word "Lord." And I tell you something, if we look at the Scripture and consider, if I wanted you to cross out the two words "not so," that just leaves the word "Lord." Or if you crossed out the word "Lord," that just leaves "not so." And the question is, would you with a glad heart strike out the words "not so," or would you strike out the word "Lord"? Are you prepared and ready to do whatever the Lord tells you to do? Peter wasn't ready in Acts 10. The Lord shows him this vision and says, "Rise, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord," because he was a Jew and he had an aversion to Gentiles and their diet, which he considered to be unclean. And he noticed what God says to him. And God spoke to him in verse 15 and said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And then if you note in verse 16, this was done three times. There's something with Peter in three times. He denied the Lord three times. He had to repent and restored in John 21 three times. And here he sees this vision three times. But I begin to think about that statement. You can't say, not so to the Lord. And yet there are so many people that if you looked at them, they say, not so. The first thing I want you to think about is there are a lot of people that when they're asked, would they be baptized, they'd say, not so. And I want to raise the question to you this morning. In the regard to baptism, do you say, not so, or Lord, in regard to baptism? When it comes to being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, how many people argue with the Lord and say, not so, to the command Jesus gave to be born again? In Mark 16 and verse 16, you remember that the Bible said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So the individual that listens to what Jesus said, they cannot call him Lord and ignore his command. If one is not willing to be baptized, they by necessity cross out the name Lord. They're not saying that Jesus is Lord of their life. They're saying that He's not their master. They're saying He is not the Son of the living God. They're saying they're not going to obey Him. And they say, not so to God. God has given us the choice whether to obey or not. And one may say, not so. And God gives you that choice. However, He warns of the consequences of that choice. Or we can choose to say, Lord, You speak and I'll obey and be obedient to God and have the hope of heaven. It all depends on what you cross out. Are you going to tell the Lord not so, or are you going to do what the Lord says? And when it comes to baptism, that is a serious thing. That is what puts one into Christ. That is what takes away the sin of man. That's what puts man as a child of God. And so when it comes to baptism, there are a lot of people that will say you need to repent. And there are a lot of people that will say you need to confess. But when it comes to baptism, they say, not so. And I'll tell you something, my friend, you can't say not so to God. But that brings up a second thought. When it comes to scriptural worship, do we say not so? Or do we say, Lord, You speak and I'll obey? God gives us a pattern on how to worship, and so often people add to God's Word to worship in a way He never authorized. And to add to worship or to worship with any addition is to deny His Lordship and say, not so, Master, we know better than You. We want to add the instruments of music. We want to add all these other things to draw people. And someone may ask, why don't we have it? You know the reason we don't have it? We have no New Testament authority for it. And someone may argue, the Bible does not say thou shalt not have it. My beloved friend, if you have it, you're obligated to show me where it says to have it. You're to show me where God says, add that to the worship. But I can show you what God expects. I can take my Bible and I can thumb over to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And I can read in verse 19 that we're to speak to one another. I don't read anything about play to one another, but I sure do read speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing, I can understand that much. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's acceptable worship, is doing what God instructs man to do. And when we question God, or we add to what God has said, or take away from what God has instructed, we make ourselves Lord and defy God. We say, not so. Then to call Him Lord is not true. If we go contrary to what God says and still try to call Him Lord, my friend, that's contrary. Either He's Lord and you do what He says, or you say, not so, and you ignore what He says. Those are the only options man has. If He is Lord, you'll follow His Word. But that brings up a third thought. Some people say, not so in regard to morality. God has specified how we are to live to please Him. In the Galatian letter we talked about in Bible class in the 5th chapter, we're to walk in the Spirit. And when one ignores what God says, we are saying, not so. We're marking out the name of the Lord, and we're going to say we're going to live by the not so, instead of saying we're going to follow the Lord. And you know what you do? When you mark out the name of the Lord, you put your name there. Because you're saying you're going to follow your desires over God's desires. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When you think about morality and you think about what God says, examine carefully what the Apostle Paul says beginning at verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. It almost reminds you of the list he gives in Romans 1. And he says, do not be deceived. Do you not know that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God? Somebody come along and say, oh, you don't have to listen to that. That's not so. You see people today accepting homosexuality in local churches. You see today where they're allowing women to preach. You're seeing today where individuals are going out and committing all kinds of acts. And they say, well, the grace of God will cover it. I want to tell you, my friend, we make a mockery of the grace of God when we do that. We abuse the grace of God. And you remember that Jude, in his epistle, talks about certain men teaching that doctrine that led people away. Not so, Lord. I'll tell you something. To do something we know is wrong, in spite of what God has said, is to say, I love myself first over anyone and anything else. And especially God. And to do so is to say, you're wrong, Lord. We know what is best and not you. And that's what Peter was saying in Acts 10. Oh, Lord, I've never eaten anything uncommon. I'm not going to now. But he says, Lord. If he's your Lord, you don't question him. You obey him. You know that could be true in regard to love. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, notice with me when John is writing this epistle, he warns about those who hate their brethren. And notice what he says in verse 9. In 1 John 2 and verse 9, he who says he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause in stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Look at that statement, if you love your brother. We are instructed throughout Scripture to love one another and to love God first. And so often we say, not so. We love ourselves. And we don't want to obey the will of God. And we don't want to obey God and call God our master. How many of us call Him our King and submit to Him? And how many of us love one another as we should? I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson's yours. If I had given you that pencil, which would you have written over? Which would you have marked out? Not so or Lord? Do you believe Jesus and follow His will? Or do you question His authority? So many religious groups that say they know better than God by adding to His Word and not heeding the divine revelation, and they are saying not so and crossing out the name of our Lord. I want to know about you. Do you say not so, Lord? Secondly, either Jesus is Lord of all or He's not Lord at all. We must submit to the King on all things, or we are guilty of picking and choosing what commands we want to obey and what we want to ignore. As servants, we do not have the choice. We submit to the King. As sons, we submit to the Father. When we don't submit to the Father, we show dishonor to our Father. And finally, do you recognize that hell will be made up of people who said, not so? those who try to dictate to the Lord what they will not do and what they will do will be lost. But those who submit to the king and say, Lord, you speak and I'll obey, they're going to make up heaven. I want to ask you the question. What is your attitude towards the Bible? What is your attitude towards Jesus? Is your attitude not so? I'm not going to do it? Or is it, Lord, you're my master. You're my king. I will follow you. I'll submit to your will. It can't be not so, Lord. It has to either be one or the other. And you know what my prayer is? You choose the Lord. And if you've never been baptized, that this morning you'll say, Lord, you speak and I'll obey. And you're immersed into Christ as together we stand and sing.